بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، وشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد،
يا ايها الذين امنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، كنتم خير امه اخرجت للناس تامرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. يا ايها الذين امنوا، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، المؤمن قوي خير وحب الى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. My beloved brothers and sisters, in this city of Washington D.C., in front of hundreds, I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah the Almighty. He has no partner, no associate. There is nothing like him at all. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and his servant. My dear brothers and sisters, today in this khutbah, I want us to take a look at the words of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, Al-mu'minu qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'min da'if. A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer. The reason that we recited this hadith, this statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is because I want to leave you here, Muslims and others who have come to this city today, I want to leave with you an instruction from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before I can give you this instruction, we must take a look at the words of our messenger, Al-mu'minu qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'min da'if. A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer. 1400 years ago, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a believer who came to him, استفتي قلبك, consult your heart. But in this city, I'm not asking the Muslims to consult your heart. Today, in this city, I'm asking the Muslims to examine your heart. Ask yourself, what is the condition of the Muslim Ummah? To answer that question, all we have to do is take a look at ourselves. Do you consider yourself al-mu'minu qawi, a strong Muslim, a believer, a mu'minu da'if, or a weak believer? So today, I want you to do several things. Number one, examine your own heart. We need a gut check. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Imam Zayd opened up and he quoted from the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want to say the same hadith. It is an instruction, because we came to Washington today to receive instruction. We want to do something. We don't want to just come here and hear speech. We want to do something. I swear by Allah the Almighty that when we leave here, you want to do something. You want to have an effect. But what we do will be based upon the level of our belief. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من مرى منكم منكر فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك عرف الإيمان. Thank you, Imam Zayd. Let him who sees an evil change it with his hand. And if you're unable to change it with your hand, then change it with your tongue. And if you're unable to change it with your tongue, then change it with your heart, and that is the weakest of faith. Brothers and sisters of God, let us today admit the United States, so-called superpower, have the power to exercise her will on the face of the earth. Why? She has political power. She's able to go to countries and exercise her political power and get governments to do things. She has the power to get governments to attack Muslims, like in Iraq. She has political power. But not only that, America has economic power. She has money. I remember years ago, a great Muslim in this country, at Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, he said, let's take America to the United Nations. But everybody knows today that the United Nations is controlled by the United States. So we can't take them to the United Nations. Why? Because the American government pays bribes to the nations of the world to get them to do their bidding. America has economic power. I want you to listen. I want you to listen real well. America has political power, she has economic power, but she also has military power. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, Iraq is divided back into three nations or thirds because the president of the United States of America is so concerned about the Kurds in the north. He's so concerned about the Shiite in the east and the west and the south. So they send their planes now and divide Iraq up in three nations because he's so concerned. But brothers and sisters, let's admit at least, even though you may not like it, America has political power, America has economic power, and America has military power. What do we have? Why did you come here today to the White House? Last week, we went to the United Nations, 3,000 Muslims or more, had Juma prayer service in front of the United Nations. Why did we go there? Why did we come here today? We, as Muslims, don't put our faith in the United Nations. We, as Muslims, don't put our faith in the President of the United States of America. And I want you to listen. Some say, who should we support? Should it be Bush? Or should it be Clinton? Governor Clinton don't care about you. He's busy trying to get a job. President Bush doesn't care about you. He's busy trying to hold on to a job. And brothers and sisters, you know what I found out? A few months ago, I went to a supermarket. And I got me a pad and some paper. And I went through the aisles. And I was looking at the different products. And I was writing them down. And now I noticed that you had products that were exactly the same, but the only difference, you had a different package. going to give you a package to the Democrats, and they'll give you another package to the Republicans. But I'm telling you, as your brother, they're the same. There's no difference. They're one and the same. Listen. The reason, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this for a reason. Last week, we were in New York City. A delegation of us went to meet with the ambassadors of the United Nations, trying to get them to do what they're supposed to do. And we met one of the delegates, Muhammad Ali, the great boxer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and give him health and give him jannah. But after we had our meeting, we went into the hotel room, sat down relaxing. Brother Muhammad Ali took out a box, opened up the box. He said, I want to show you something. There's about 7 or 8 of us in the room. And he said, brothers, I want you to know that as Muslims, we don't believe in magic. But I want to show you something to show how easily you can be deceived. And so Muhammad Ali started levitating. And he started doing other tricks. And then he showed us how it's done so that we won't be deceived. Now, I know most of you think that Washington, D.C. is the capital of America. I know you think that. But can I tell you the true capital of America? It's Madison Avenue and Hollywood. Why do I say that? Because, brothers and sisters, sometimes power is perceived but not real. There's an illusion of power, but the power is not really there. You think that they have power, but they have no power. And I give you an example. What trainers do? The biggest land animal in the world is the elephant. There's a chapter in the Quran called Al-Fil, the 105th chapter of the Quran, called the elephant. When the elephant is first born, what the trainer does, he put a rope around the neck and tie it to a stake and bang the stake to the ground so the young baby elephant can't move. But as the baby elephant begins to grow, bigger and bigger, 13 feet high, 6 tons, 12,000 pounds, it still has a rope around the neck, still has a stake, but all the elephant has to do is grunt, and the stake will come up. But the reason that the elephant don't move, because it's been conditioned to think that it don't have no power. I'm here today, brothers and sisters, to tell you that the power doesn't rest in the United States, but the power rests with the Muslims. Why? But why? Why am I saying this? This is not emotion. If you understood Quran, if you understood Hadith, if you understood Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would understand that we have the power. And brothers and sisters, I close with these words from the Quran, reminding you that I'm going to tell you something that we have to do in the next few moments. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best of people evolved for mankind because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. Brothers and sisters, today I'm asking you and myself, take a gut check. Take a look at your heart. Because believe me, external battles are not won by the size of your army. Not by big armies, but they're won by big hearts. Take a look at your heart. المؤمن قوي خير وحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, those non-Muslims, I want you to take a look around today and see what you see. You see different colors. Some of us speak different languages. I'm the brother today giving the khutbah, obviously an African American. My skin is black.
in this audience, we have different skin colors, some white, red, yellow, red, all in between, male and female, different nationalities. Muslims who suffer in Bosnia, their skin happens to be white. But you know what? I'm here today for one reason. You are here today for one reason. You came and traveled today for a reason to show your solidarity for those Muslims suffering 4,000 miles away. And you know what? Despite the fact that their skin is white, it doesn't make any difference. Because Allah, the one that we believe in, the creator of the heavens and earth, reveals in Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are brothers. That's why we're here. We have a mandate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مَنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help ye one another in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, last week, we stood in front of the United Nations, and I heard the most eloquent speech I've ever heard in my life. It came from a young girl, maybe 13, 14, 15 years old, I don't know. She stood on that rostrum in front of thousands. And you know what she said? In eloquent words, I can't even repeat it. It was that eloquent. She said, help us! Help us! Help us! Help us! And when she cried and said, help us, I watched the men, tears rolling down their eyes. She didn't have to speak from Quran or Sunnah. She didn't have to give a long speech. She said, help us! Help us! And when she said, help us, it went to my heart. And I remember the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave us a parable. He said, مثل المؤمنين, the example or a parable of a believer or the believers in their mutual love, their mutual mercy, their mutual compassion, suggested like a body. And when one member of the body suffers, then the entire body sends sleeplessness and fever. I ask you, brothers and sisters from Connecticut, from Philadelphia, from New Jersey, from New York, from Washington, from Baltimore, can you sleep at night knowing that your brother and sister is being murdered? Can you sleep at night? If there's fever, if there's one body, how come we don't feel pain? How come we can eat and they can't get food? We can eat at night with a big plate of food and stuff ourselves while our Muslims in Somalia are dying. The Muslims in Kashmir are being oppressed, and the Muslims in Bosnia are being oppressed. How can we sleep at night? I'll tell you why. If something is wrong with our iman, we don't have political power as we should. We don't have economic power as we should. And we don't have military power that we should. But might I tell you what the prerequisite of economic power, political power, economic power is? The prerequisite is faith power. Well, if you have no faith power, then you can't move. You can't do anything. If you have money, you won't spend in the right way. So brothers and sisters, I come to you now with this appeal. We have to do something. Whoever of you seeing evil, let him change it with his hands. Everyone here, Muslim and non-Muslim, even President Bush, recognizes there's evil in Bosnia. He knows it. The United Nations know it. But the question is, why don't we move our hands to change it? President Bush has the power to do it. The United Nations have the power to do it. But why don't they? I'll tell you why, brothers and sisters. Take a look in the mirror. We're the reason why. You know why? because if we were strong Muslims, if we had iman power, faith power, we can move this whole society toward that which is righteousness. About 7 years ago, a Muslim from Palestine, a Wednesday night, I'll never forget it, we were having akika. We're celebrating the birth of one of the Muslim families. A brother from Palestine came to me and said, "Brother Imam, some drug dealers took over my building. I went to the police, just like you go to Bush in the United Nations. I went there 7 times crying to them, and they didn't do anything about it. Brother Imam Siraj, I have nowhere else to go. I'm coming to you as the leader of the Muslim community. Help me. Help me get my place back. I was sick. And when I went out of my building, drug dealers came in and took it over. And the speech sounded like the speech of that young girl, "Help me." It just so happened, when he came, I had a notepad in front of me. I was preparing to give the khutbah for Yom Jum'ah. And you know what my khutbah was going to be? As he was speaking in front of me, I had it right there. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help ye one another in righteousness and the fear of Allah. I had there in my notes, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انصر أخاك ظالما المظلوما. Help your brother if he is oppressor or being oppressed. I had in my note, إنما المؤمنون إخوة. The believers are brothers. Now here was a brother saying, "Brother Imam Siraj, help me. I know drug dealers got guns, but I went to the police and the police was afraid to do anything. Please help me." He didn't know the khutbah that I was going to do. But I made a determination that night. I said, either I'm going to help him, or I'm not going to give that khutbah. I'm not going to stand there Friday and be a hypocrite and talk about helping the brotherhood, helping the brotherhood. Here's a golden opportunity to help the brotherhood, and I do nothing. I made a determination on that day that we will ask the brotherhood to stand up for our Muslim brother. He's not from Masjid al-Taqwa. His skin is not black, but it doesn't make a difference. Because the Prophet Muhammad said, "Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim." The Muslim is the brother to a Muslim. So you know what we did? We got 20 brothers. We got in our cars. We went to the building. And I told the brother, "Come with me. We'll knock on the door. And when the drug dealer opens his door, we let him know that you can't sell drugs here anymore." And when we came and knocked on the door, the drug dealer opened the door. I said, "You have to go now. This place doesn't belong to you, it belongs to my brother." The drug dealer said, "Oh, please, can you give me a couple of days?" I said, "No, you have no time." And as I was speaking to him, the brothers were going inside the apartment. And the drug dealer said, he called back out to the other drug dealer and said, "Look, these are the Muslims. Don't do anything. Everything is okay. Don't do anything." And I swear by Allah, 10 of them came out of there. They came out of there and they went out there. Why? Because the Muslims decided to stand up and fight against oppression no matter whatever the consequences would be. Brothers and sisters, the reason that I said that, I don't think we're heroes. I think we did what we had to do. I think we did what we mandated to do. And I didn't tell you. I was in my clothing for the akika. I got the brothers together. I went home. And I took off my kufi. I took off my kameez. And I put my sneakers on. I put my fighting clothes on. Because I didn't go there to give a lecture. I went there to fight if I had to fight. And I told my wife, "I may not be coming home tonight. I may not come home." And you know what? When he got there and got the drug dealers out, I swear by Allah, the drug dealers called the cops on us. And the police came and arrested us. Well, that's not my subject. This is my subject, brothers and sisters. In my conclusion, look at you. You are Muslims. I saw all the busloads of Muslims coming here, and I said, SubhanAllah, Allah is great. Look at the Muslims and their concern and their compassion for their Muslim brothers and sisters back here. And you know what? I looked at us and said, you know, we don't even realize our power. You know what we need, brothers and sisters? We need the help of the United Nations. You didn't hear what I said. You thought I said, we need the help of the United Nations. I didn't say that. I said, we need the help of the United Nations. What do you mean, United Nations? I won't say it, I let Allah say it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. Verily, this nation is one nation. These are official boundaries and borders and barriers that separate us. Man-made, artificial. I pray the day will come soon that the Muslims in Iraq will hold hands with the Muslims in Iran, and the Kurds, and the Shiites, and the Sunnis in Iraq will hold hands together, brothers. I hope the day comes when the Muslims in Sudan, and the Muslims in Libya, and the Muslims in Syria, Muslims in Pakistan, Muslims in Jordan, Muslims in Indonesia, Muslims in Malaysia, Muslims in Nigeria, Muslims in every part of the globe would hold hands together as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands in Quran, وَاَتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تُفَرِّقُوا. Hold on all together by the rope of Allah and be not divided. Brothers and sisters, you are strong and you are powerful. But you like the elephant. There's a little rope around your neck, and there's a little spike in the ground, and you think you can't move.